Hello, welcome to the Catch Up Plenty on Today. Opened a can of worms. Not many people with Marto on this one.
No, because basically he was dissing on Wayne Bennett, came up with his own acronym. What was it? GROW, Get GROW. Rid of Wayne. 95% of people not keen.
Most people were not keen, yeah. So nothing new with Marto there. CSI Marto, that was after 7 o'clock, a big airbag recall.
That's
fascinating stuff too. We heard some great stories from people who have had the face-to-face with an airbag.
I also learnt who was accidentally weed on or what did you accidentally wee on. It was weird, but thanks.
Yeah, that probably needs context. That is in here a bit later. And also caught up with Kennedy Malloy as well. You'd know them as the Drive Show, Mick Malloy, Jane Kennedy. They had a big whack at you yesterday, Moon, at the long lunch.
You know, they're friends. It's not to sure. be believed. Like, I mean, the term use lunit is useless.
loose unit
is bandied round a little bit.
bit
too much. I've forgotten that.
See
a use lunit.
See ya, mate.
Bye, mate.
Have a sleep and enjoy the catch up.
Hey, they had the big Courier Mail launch yesterday with all the three Queensland teams and coaches all there and unveiling the Courier Mail talent that'll be riding for us. But the big story, as far as I could see, to come out of the whole thing was that Wayne Bennett is looking at history to become the first NRL coach to go into his 70th year of age. And they asked him about it. They said, will you go around again? So he signed for 2018, 2019, at which stage he'll be 69. Will he go again?
At 68, I don't think the music's still inside me.
So you haven't signed your last Broncos contract?
No, not yet.
All right.
Well, that's fair enough. Look how fit he is.
I know. He did. Actually, Kath and I sat there and watched. Look, Kath said, he's 68. My God.
He runs.
He still runs with the team. He still goes for a run after training. And I appreciate all that. And I appreciate his genius that has brought Brisbane 6 premierships. And he won one with St George. And then he went to Newcastle. That wasn't so good. He's come back here in his 4 years. Let's go through it. Because I want to start a campaign. It's called Grow Bonk Broncos. GROW. Get rid of Wayne.
Oh. Wow.
Get rid of Wayne. After everything he's done, all good things have got to come to an end. If they want to win, they've come close lately. 2014, he returned to the Bronx. What happened there? They got beaten in the prelim by the Cowboys. 2015, that was the Cowboys-Broncos, and they got beaten by that bloody field goal, you know, by Thursto in the last second, and you know Ben Hunt dropped the ball. 2016, no good, really. 2017, they just haven't quite got it right, and the message gets old and stale, and maybe, why does he need to do it? We've got Kevin Walters. The man isn't a boy anymore, doesn't need any more training. He is 50 years of age, Kev Walters. It's time for him to take the reins and not be mollycoddled by Wayne Bennett, who's nearly 70.
Yeah, is it purely age, though? Because, you know, the tribal elder obviously has all this wisdom, and we're a society that just pushes old people or people with any experience out of the way. It's all about, you know, succession and letting young people come through. What about the huge reservoir of knowledge and experience that Wayne Bennett has got? I reckon he can go on to 69, no problem.
Mate, I just don't think – I think the message has become stale. This is 32nd. No. This is about his 32nd year coaching NRL.
Yeah, but he's so successful and he's so loved in Brisbane. I'm actually quite amazed. I mean, you obviously have experience being a former Wallaby that you understand about coaching.
I want Kevin Walters. I want a breath of fresh air at the Broncos. It seems the right time. They've done all that new development. Everything looks magnificent. If you drive past the Broncos or watch them train now, surely it's time for a new message, a new voice. I know Darren Lockyer said, oh, he coached me for 14 years. But really, the message gets stale. Oh, yeah.
Well, surely he's evolving too, Wayne Bennett. It hasn't been the same thing for 34 years.
Perhaps he is.
Okay, so what do you want to say?
Grow Broncos. Get rid of Wayne.
Oh.
Let's see.
Let him see out his contract.
The Big Breakfast's can of worms.
If you replay this, if they win the premiership either this year or next, make sure you've got this.
It's on tape, unfortunately. 133353. I believe the statement is Wayne Bennett is too old to coach the Broncos.
And you've come up with your own acronym, GROW, Get Rid of Wayne.
GROW Broncos. Yeah, well, they've got to grow. Have you seen them? They've been too staid in terms of their footy. They don't take any risks. What does that equate with? An old bloke trying to hang on to his job.
Okay.
Ooh. Take some risks for a change.
They're playing conservative footy.
Well, you think about it in the grand final in 2015. They were just playing. But last year, same thing. They could have won games. They don't do anything adventurous. They play the percentages. That's a Wayne thing, of course. That's probably a rugby league thing. But I just feel if they got someone new like Kevin Walters, It's time. Why does Kevin Walters have to be Wayne's assistant forever and ever and ever? Surely it's... No, anyway, I'm wasting my time because no one will agree with me.
Well, let's see. Stephen of Moggle, what do you reckon?
Yeah, don't put me in the trenches with Marto. Look, I think Wayne will go when he's ready. It's not like the Broncos aren't doing bad. They've been in the finals. I think they've missed them once in the last 5 years or something, isn't it?
So he wasn't there.
Wayne's still doing a good job. Loyalty is a big thing. And I just think that when he's ready, he'll go. So, yeah, I don't agree with you, Marto. Sorry, bud.
That's all right, bro.
Okay. There we go. Thank you, Steve.
I've just got, there's more to Wayne Bennett than meets the eye, away from the public eye, from everything you see. And I'm sure he's great with young men, but it's just, there comes a time, surely. I know no one's going to agree with me. That's
well,
fine.
Hang on. Andrew of Goodna. He is. Are you Andrew?
Hey, Marta, I'm with you, mate. It's every organisation needs a change every now and then. Fresh set of eyes, new ideas, just to give it a bit of a spark and a bit of a reboot.
Yeah, I get the feeling the Broncos are going, oh, we get 30,000 people to each game and we seem to get to the finals. That's enough. No, spark it up. You're right. Thank you, Andrew.
Yeah. No, yeah. Mate.
When was the Broncos' last premiership?
12 years ago in 2006.
Yeah, right. But they've done pretty well.
Hold on. Is pretty well good enough?
Yeah, this game's about premierships, though. Oh. It's, if you're not winning premierships, you've got to find out why.
Yeah, but how many teams are in the NRL?
The 16.
Right, so every year 15 of them don't win premierships. That's doesn't mean they're logic. Not doing very well.
I like your logic, but the Broncos, mate, when that first, between 1988 and 2006, we won 6 premierships in 18 years. We were used to one every 3 years on average.
Andrew of Birkdale, what do you think? Is Wayne too old?
Failure.
No, I don't think he's too old, but I think the Broncos are nothing without him. So they do need a fresh face.
Righto, but you've got Kevy Walters there who's already proven himself and Wayne sent him away once and said, get more experience. He's back. Does he have to sit there and just keep watching Wayne do things?
Yeah, he has to live with it for the moment because Wayne is doing a good job. But personally, I reckon the worst thing to happen for him now under Wayne Bennett would be for them to win a premiership because it just proves my point that the Broncos can't do anything without him. They did nothing when he left and they just went down and down and down. And now he's back and they go up and they win. Proves it exactly. They need a fresh face and they need to move on from Wayne Bennett because he's not always going to be around.
Yeah, I'm not saying the number 68 or 9 is too old. I'm just saying I'm with you. You need a fresh face.
Yeah, need a fresh face and they need to grow as a side outside of Wayne Bennett. Like, I'm not saying he's done a bad job.
No.
He's done a brilliant job. But, yeah, the Broncos are nothing without Wayne Bennett. It's Wayne Bennett and the Broncos, not the Broncos. The Broncos need to be themselves.
Is it a bit like the Lions when they lost their great coach? They then
Lee
lost,
Matthews.
Yeah, then
Lee
they
Matthews.
Lost. Mm. They lost the premiership.
But Lee Matthews also knew after so many years the message was getting stale. Like, you can't just sit there and listen and listen and listen. At some stage, Jack Gibson used to say, "Turn over the coach every 4 years." Now it'll be 6 years by the time Wayne's been back at the Bronx. If they haven't won anything, off you go.
Okay, what are the stats, Brendan?
95%.
Righto!
95% of callers calling through saying he's not too old to coach the Broncos. Marto, he's still all right?
Marto's going to stick to his campaign, though. Grow Broncos.
Oh, no, I can flip-flop quite easily after round four when they're on top of the ladder.
It's the big breakfast on Brisbane's Triple M. He's our man with all the Hollywood
goss. It's Bobby Shriekman. Oh, hello, Bobby. How are you?
I'm great, thanks, Robert. Hello to you, Moon Man, and you, Marto. Little Brendo, the button monkey. I love you all. I'm in my big pink alabaster mansion, looking down on the Story Bridge, and boy, have I got some stories for you.
Ryan Seacrest seems to be in strife in Hollywood.
I'll tell you what, the award season's riding shotgun with time's up. Hashtag me too. Ooh, I wish. Ryan Seacrest, well, are you sticking by him? But Susie Hardy said he grabbed her on the genitals, gave her a bear hug just in his undies and forcefully spanked her buttocks, leaving red welts. Ryan, come over to my place.
Shriek.
Thank me, Ryan.
Shriek, man, I wouldn't mind getting a comment. The Spice Girls rumoured to be playing at Prince Harry and Meghan Markle's wedding in the upcoming weeks.
It is a big Triple M Shriekman Marto scoop. It's the truth. Harry and Meghan, you've got to pronounce it Meghan, otherwise she gets all antsy. Meghan are getting married and the Spice Girls are going to be there. Ginger baby, sporty, posh and scary. But I'm wondering, why don't they update? Where's turmeric, cumin, cinnamon and nutmeg? Turmeric spice. Hello.
Hello.
Do you know anything about Barbara Streisand cloning her dog?
Yes, she has. She's got two little, I don't know what they are, fish on bees or bees and fish on or snoozy groozies. Or I don't know what they are, but she's cloned them of her dog that died last year. Memories, like the corners of my mind. Yes, apparently she scraped the dog's cheeks and the vets cloned the other ones. It's disgusting. Come on, Babs. Okay. Why don't you clone yourself, doll? Memories.
Okay. Shrink, Oscars Academy Awards on Monday. What's the preparation like for you? What do you got to do?
Well, I'm in the gymnasium. I'm on the bike. I'm on the rower. And I am manscaping, Marto. I tell you what, I've got a rug. As Mick Malloy would say, it's a two-man job from Jim's mowing. Get the whippersnipper back there. Get it back there.
You did ask. Thank you, Bobby.
See ya.
Bye.
Yesterday, hell of a day, went down to the Storybridge Hotel for the Kennedy Malloy Long Lunch.
How good were some of the listeners who came down? There's Tracy, she was from the Gold Coast, but she's worked in Brisbane. She got him to sign a copy of Mick to sign a copy of her of Crackerjack, the movie he made years ago. They were bringing out old stuff all over the place.
And that's when I realised his hair hadn't changed in 30 years, looking at that
CD. That's the point. And I'd forgotten that Jane was Brooke Vandenberg on Frontline.
The Moon, sadly, you weren't there.
I wasn't there, and I love, you know, appearing on their show. They have got a great body of work, and I think it's a terrific show.
I tell you what, a lot of the listeners were funny when we finally got them away. Like, they were so rapt to see Mick and Jane. We had Jono wanted more country music. Brenda, can you put that down on the request
country
list?
Music,
and
it.
Matt was the guy I heard Mick talk about yesterday. Had the AC/DC shirt
and
over the top Hawaiian. He was drinking JD. Matt runs City Hire out at Brendale. Hello, Matt. But we finally... crowbarred Mick and Jane away from the fans and sat down and had a quiet chat to them. First time together in Brisbane. What did you think of the fans?
Well, I loved it. It's always hilarious to
fans,
meet the audience.
Honestly.
So in my mind's eye, everyone looks like a kind of Mel Gibson type.
That's what they say about you, actually, until they meet you in the flesh.
No, I thought I fit in nicely. I think that's my
What's
people.
What's the difference, though, between here and, say, Melbourne and Sydney?
So we've already done one in Melbourne and nothing. That's absolutely accurate.
That's why we love Triple M.
We went to a Foo Fighters concert recently down in Melbourne, and I looked at that and I can guarantee you there were 30,000 people there and every one of them was a Triple M listener.
Was there anyone in Melbourne looked like, I think his name was Jono, he was the one in the AC/DC shirt
with the Hawaiian
shirt
on top.
Over and drinking JD at 12:30.
Right, that was like, what's his name from Hawaii Five-O?
Oh, yeah.
Who'd really let himself go. He was hilarious. AC/DC, fat guy t-shirt, handlebar moustache.
Yeah. But that's
possibly
our audience.
Day release.
Yeah. Love it.
Now, have you told these guys about the memos that have gone round the building in the last 24 hours?
What are you talking about?
No, that we had to clean our desks.
Oh, yeah, because you came along, because we run a fairly loose operation. The tropics, mate.
That's very embarrassing.
Can you please clean your desk? Kennedy Malloy are going to be in town.
Well, that's hilarious.
Well, neither of us are OCD.
Your workstation's putrid.
So is yours.
Your station's.
Yours is a disgrace, actually.
It's a crime scene.
In fact, mine's not putrid when I think about it.
Well, at my desk below, there's like a chalk outline of someone who has...
There's only one thing on his
desk.
Lost
their life.
What is that one thing?
This is a copy of the Tigers Grand Final.
That's all I have.
Headlights, Jane. We've got a bit of problem here in Brisbane with the tropical weather at the moment.
Did you say headlights and looked at me?
Do you have headlights? No, not you personally. No, your kids.
Welcome to Brisbane.
I've had headlights, sure. Who hasn't?
Mardo's doing all his pickup lines tonight. Hello, girls. Any headlights?
You're so charming.
Five kids. We're looking for. I just want to run one by you. What did you used to use? Do your kids get
do
it?
Do you know what?
I
have put out a query. I'm very annoyed that you can't use Kero anymore because apparently that's illegal.
Well, you can. You just can't use a match nearby.
No, but have you ever used Frontline, the stuff you use for fleas and ticks on dogs?
Yeah, that doesn't work.
Yeah, well, it did for ours.
Oh, you mean Frontline for the fleas? That works.
Quick one, Marlo. How do we end up here?
I'm seriously interested. I'm going to try that when I get home. Yeah.
I know that Jane has five kids. I knew that would have been
that's
a big
your end point with
stage.
Me on the kids is head lice. Yeah, you're a man after my own heart.
I've sort that out. You sort life
I have
out.
I've two 5-year-old boys.
Okay, headlines.
Last I heard of them, they were in a bottle shop. Last story I heard,
they're in a car at the front. So we better hurry. We better hurry this up. So they're turning 6th of July. Is a neck tattoo? Is it too soon for a neck tattoo?
Not
now,
if it's
is
a tiger.
It true they were born the day before your birthday?
Yes, correct. So my birthday is the 11th of July. Mm-hmm. Their birthday is the 10th of July. So what I do is I buy them really great presents, and as they get older, I'm going to shame them.
Oh, the pressure.
The pressure of having to back it up for Dad.
That's very mature, isn't it?
Is that a grand final, baby? You're good at counting back. Is July? I think July's a grand final, baby.
Actually, it is.
Yeah, so your parents had sex on the grand final day to produce you, and you did the same thing to produce them.
Go Tigers.
Oh, my God. I'm never going to enjoy a grand final again after hearing that.
You'll think about that.
That's mixed once a year.
It's special occasions only. Now I'm going back to the station and everyone's work desk better be clean.
That is so ridiculous.
Ask for the memo.
I'm going straight to yours, Robin.
Let's get the memo.
There was one yesterday and one this morning.
Oh, this is
there
great.
There were two.
Well, there's our
you tyrant,
great.
Mick Molloy.
How are you going with our mate Lawrence Mooney, who's not with us today?
What a loose unit. What did you do with him in Adelaide?
Two Saturday nights ago.
Oh, okay. So I'm the bad guy.
Oh, yeah.
You know who Lawrence Mooney is. Have you ever seen a looser unit?
No.
It's like we've palmed him off. Yeah. And do you know what? He's one of the funniest blokes I've ever met.
Mate, he hasn't missed a day at work yet.
He hasn't missed a day at work. I thought I might have got him to miss one.
Was that a Sunday night he was with? It was a Sunday night you were with.
Can I tell you something?
Did
you
turn up?
I did the drive show that day and I could barely do it.
Yeah, right.
That was in the afternoon.
Oh, now you're laughing about it.
He was like a pregnant woman. Like he was kept holding his back.
I think his liver was hurting him. Oh, that's right. Where have you been? Oh, I went out with Mick after I performed yesterday.
He did.
He blamed you for everything.
Mick blamed Lawrence, so it's like...
He is one loose unit. He wasn't meant to have a day-to-day job, was he?
He wasn't.
Well, he's got one now. You said he's turned up every day
so far.
But every day is potentially his last. So good luck with that.
CSI Motto.
Hey, I want to have a look in today what they're calling the biggest product recall in Australian history. Also, the greatest irony, and something they introduced was airbags into cars and said they've got to be compulsory from now on, is now being viewed as one of the greatest health risks. 23 deaths around the world, they reckon about 600 injuries. Taking that seriously enough, this morning, the transport minister, the federal minister of the treasury, assistant minister of the treasurer or something like that, he's going to announce the 2.3 million cars will be...
Hang on, 2.3 million
And not voluntary,
cars.
Not if you go, oh, yeah, I think I might take their advice and go in. Compulsory, you have to take your car in and get the... Are they Takata Alpha airbags? They tried to save money on them and they degrade after some time. The ammonium nitrate reacts poorly and they shoot out metal into your face when they go off. So they're saying, not every time, but enough to say... Bring them in.
Well, it's frightening, the idea that you could be driving along a freeway at 100 k's and bang, it just goes off in your face.
But how big a impact does it have to go off? Like if you just tap something at 10 k's an hour like your driveway, does it just go off?
Out of the blue.
And also, what does it feel like? Honestly, I have this fear that something will happen and I'll be hurt more by the airbag than I will the accident.
Well, that's what they're saying, if it goes wrong. But I've heard of people breaking their nose, not by metal shards, just by the airbag thing.
Okay, so none of us have been hit with an airbag, and none of us.
No. And none of us know anything about it.
Come on, people.
All I know is that you end up covered in white powder.
Yeah.
Because the rubber bag inside has to be powdered so it doesn't perish. So you end up with white powder all over you.
All right.
Which is Friday night at my place.
Yeah. Okay. I should have known that was going somewhere. Right. We've got a lot of questions. Like, what happens when they go off? How do you get out of it? How do you pack them in? I believe it costs $1,200 to repack an airbag, even if they go off accidentally.
CSI Motto.
Well, we started talking about these 2.3 million cars in Australia. That's 2 out of every 7 cars. Look around you in the traffic. Two out of every seven are going to be compulsory to recall them because the government says there's problems with the Takata Alpha airbag. It's going to hurt you. And we went, oh, none of us know anything about it. There's heaps of people ringing up. Oh, I have my feet on the dash and all sorts of stories. Who we got, Rob?
Okay, Michael of Jimboomba. What happened?
Morning, everyone. just another one to add in mix for the hinges of airbags. I had an accident late last year, and I had my hands on the steering wheel, so the airbag didn't hit me too hard in the face. But the interesting thing is, on the side of the airbag, when they go off, they've got these vents. So that the airbag isn't like a brick when it hits you, it releases a bit of the pressure. The propellant gas is hot, as hot as. So I've got burns all up my arm from where the propellant then came out of these vents all onto my arm. So I've had burns on my arm for about a month or so.
So that makes a lot of sense. So the explosion inside the airbag pushes it out with such force, but so it's not solid. It's got vents on the side, and the propellant burned his arms.
And then it deflates immediately, does it, Michael?
It is, yeah. It's just basically like after that.
Right. Okay.
Your phone's not real terrible. Good, but we get the message, mate. Thank you.
Thank you. Sebastian of Narangba, what happened?
Well, I was driving down the highway. It was April last year, and I was on a driving for work. And I was up at Nambour there, right near the Big Pineapple, actually. Yeah. And I had a little bit of a micro sleep. So still can't explain it. Went through all this medical testing and that sort of thing as well. And essentially, I've gone off the highway at about 80, well, the connection road there, whatever it is.
What'd you hear?
Well, I hit a traffic island, vehicle went airborne, then I started going down this little embankment just past that little overflow car park.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so my vehicle was catching all these little trees and things as I went through. But the airbag, as I was bracing myself, because I obviously woke up when I hit that traffic island.
Yeah.
Well, came back to alert. I didn't really feel like I was asleep. Felt like I was just, I blinked. But I braced myself against the steering wheel with my hands.
Yeah.
Foot down on the brake, and then that airbag has come up, and it's actually caught me in place, and it stopped me from getting that jerk.
Hang on. We missed that little bit. That jerk. What happened? Did you hit a big tree?
So basically, when the vehicle came to its sudden stop, right towards the end, it's gone off then, and it stopped me from moving backwards and forwards. So it's actually held me in place and stopped me from shifting around too much.
Injuries?
And that's a bruise on my hands from where I was pushing the steering wheel. Yeah. That is it. The doctors could not believe it.
Wow. So it saved you?
I am 100% convinced that the airbag saved my life.
Good wow. Thank you. Oh, my gosh. Nolene of Brighton. Day. Absolutely. What happened to you with the airbag?
Oh, I rear-ended somebody, and it hit me in the face, so there's no injuries, but I got chemical burns all over my hands.
Another one. Righto.
Yeah. So I've got some scars on my wrists from the chemical burns, but that's it.
And why a chemical burn? Is it
from that propellant?
I think the gas coming out. They said it was a gas for the propellant to come out.
Okay.
And are they permanent scars?
My skin scars. So there's still a scar. That's about 4 weeks ago, and there's still a bit of a scar there now, but it'll probably fade out over time, I would think.
But you reckon the bag saved you?
Probably from my face hitting the steering wheel, yeah.
Right.
And what happened to the car, Nolene?
It's been written off.
Righto, so it was a fair incident, yep. All right.
Okay, thank you.
They seem to be working so far. Is that Leroy?
G'day, guys. How you going?
Yeah, mate. What's your story of airbags?
Mate, just a bit of technical info for CSI Marto.
Yeah, mate.
Great.
So these Takata airbags, they will not go off without an impact.
Yeah. Hey, what sort of force are we talking? Let's say you run into a fixed. Let's say you run into a bollard. At what sort of speed would you need to hit a parked car or a bollard for them to go off?
It's sort of about 20-30 k's an hour, but it's the speed of deceleration. You can still have a full frontal impact in a car and it not go off because the other part of your head has moved away fast enough so that it hasn't caused the deceleration.
Yeah, righto.
Okay.
But what the actual issue is. Is the inflator in the airbag. So there's an explosive wafer inside it, and humidity, if it's exposed to humidity over time, that increases the charge, which it can go off. So it goes off with more force. Now, that gas is channeled into a vent and then goes through the airbag and makes it inflate.
Does that sound like to you? You heard some of the other callers saying they had burns on their arms. Does that sound like that's that gas?
So that's normal operation.
Righto.
Right.
Okay, but when it goes up with more force is the actual canister which houses that explosive charge explodes.
Oh.
And then you've got those little shards of metal flying around inside the car as well.
Oh,
And that's why they're recalling
them. The danger comes in. That's why they're recalling them now. Some manufacturers, the big ones, Toyota and whatnot, have already been doing these recalls since they first came out.
Yeah.
They started replacing airbags in really older cars because the time affects it more often.
Yep.
And they started recalling these cars years and years ago, and they put brand new airbags in them, which gave them a window of about 5 years.
Gee, you sound like an expert, mate. Can I ask? So now, who's going to, let's say you recall my car, who's going to sort me out while you've got my car? Because it's not my fault. I need my car for work, mate.
The dealership representative of that manufacturer will look after you. They'll supply you. They'll get the parts in and get them fitted up. But the biggest problem is there's so many cars involved. There's so many new bags that have got to be made. And they had to figure out a new design first to stop it from being a problem in the future. Mm.
But, you know, you're talking humidity, which is Brisbane, and just based on what you said with metal flying around in your car and in your face, that's enough of a reason for all of us, if your car is one of those cars, to go and get it recoiled. That's terrible.
Thanks for being an expert, Leroy. Thanks, you've made us all a bit smarter.
Yeah, a bit later.
I'll tell you what. Yeah. Takatage just should have stuck to making biscuits.
Yeah.
Mate. Seriously.
2.3 million cars will be recalled a bit later this morning. As we find out the makes and models, you'll hear about it here on Brisbane's Triple M.
I saw it yesterday on our Facebook page about a young bloke who got into an elevator and he's obviously on CCTV and just decides to, I don't know, wee on the controls, see what happens.
Oh. Why? Was he off his head?
No, he needed to go to the toilet.
Well, and also he's alone in a lift, so I was like, what else are you going to do? There's a bit of travel time up your sleeve.
Was anyway, have you ever done this? Like tried to wee as high as you can up the wall, like in the toilet?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, of course.
Because we can, Robin.
Yeah,
but
I get it.
What about this? What about when you've got a little bit of thickness and you try to do the arc to see how far away you can stand from the toilet? You'd ever try to do that, Marta?
No, I've gone upwards. That's good pressure.
Yeah, that is good pressure. Yeah.
I wonder why you there's wee on the floor in the men's toilet.
Don't you get covered in wee? Like, isn't that just gross?
You can. No. But you can put your... you can use your thumb like the end of the hose where you know.
Okay, that's enough. Well, it's not. Have you ever... One day... Oh, no. I went
to, what? Go on. Come on, you've started.
One day I was mixing concrete and it's so boring. You're loading in, putting in the concrete, putting in the blend, putting in it, you're saying, water's in, and you're waiting to mix, and I desperately needed a wee, wrote my whole name, Greg Martin.
In the concrete?
No, on the bitumen, because it was a really hot day, and it sizzled as it hit.
That is terrific.
It's impressive, man.
Robin, so, that look on your face, what is that one? I haven't seen that one for a while.
I just have no words. Like, it's just not something. I don't think you would get a woman purposely weeing apart from after she's just had a child and her pelvic floor's not working very well. That's about it.
Boring. I reckon you are so wrong. I think that women do wee on things for the fun
of it. Do you reckon they do?
Yeah, well, I reckon they do.
Apart from my mum saying that there were some old wives' tales that when you got done by a jelly, like a blue ring, you're supposed to wee on that, apparently. Yeah. That was the only time.
Or a stinger,
Is that true? Yeah,
I don't know.
Blue bottles, I've heard.
Yeah, like apart from that, I don't know.
The uric acid helps to... counteract the sting.
Now, but what was the purpose of this chat again? I forgot.
I want to know, guys, what have you done out there? You know, what have you weed on and what trouble did you get into? Because the guy that weed on the controls of the lift, he found out what happens. The lift stopped. And
did he get trapped in there?
He got trapped in there. And then
that's called karma right there.
He's looking around and he's like, yes, mate, you did that. You know, the old... What's wrong with this bloody lift?
Did they prove that he'd weed on it before it stopped, or he should have said it stopped and I desperately needed a wee?
No, he stopped it. He's very lucky not to have sizzled himself either. But what have you weed on?
What happens if you wee on an electric fence?
Great question.
Oh, that is a good question. I reckon you get a zap in your...
Oh, gee.
Genitals.
333-53 What did you wee on? What were the consequences? Maybe it was an electric fence. Maybe you thought it might have been a safe space.
You know what? In this era of empowerment of women and, well, they've shot and passed men in most ways, haven't they? This is one area where we are superior.
Oh, absolutely.
And we'll always remain superior.
Well, until they get an invention like a pants pump so they can do the same thing.
I don't think we want to. I'm all good. Okay. You go right ahead.
There's probably some girl driving along now going, God, I wish I could do this.
Really? Okay, let's see. Shane of Mount Ominy. Oh, you've weed on an electric fence. Now, this was the question we were asking going into the song. What happened?
Yeah, unfortunately, I have, yeah. So I used to help my uncle out on a dairy farm every summer holidays, and I didn't realise the fence behind the dairy was electrified. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you now, Marto, you get a decent shock right up through your old fella.
Ooh,
it was about that time I realised I had a pretty big vertical leap as well.
A pretty big vertical leap. Now, is it a horrible but not altogether unpleasant feeling?
It's probably too long ago to remember any positives about it, to be honest, mate.
Yeah. But, you wouldn't go. Didn't go doing it. It didn't become a habit.
Oh, definitely not, mate. I was pretty careful from then on. Don't you worry.
Yeah, because he's only 15. Like, it's not like he's had a massive amount of sensation at that time.
Well, maybe in the first drill, cleared the pipes.
Warwick of Nunda, what happened with your daughter?
Contrary to your beliefs, Robin, this was when she was about 3 or 4. We lived out in the Cocos Islands, and they've got hermit crabs.
Yeah,
and they sort of burrow down into the sand, you know, and she took a dislike to the hermit crabs and used to squat over the holes and urinate into them.
And what happened then?
Oh, nothing. Probably made the crab a bit uncomfortable.
I bet.
Right.
So in my eye.
Yeah.
What acid is that rain?
Acid rain.
What a little goer. I'm just going to pee on a hermit crab, Dad.
Yeah.
Yep, fair enough. I mean, little girls, yes, because, you know, they don't care.
Has she changed her ways, Warwick?
Oh, yeah. She's grown up now. That's about 30 years ago.
I'd be stoked you've told us.
Thanks, Woz.
Thanks, Warwick. Jack of Glen Eagle. Oh, another electric fencer.
How are you?
What's it like? Is it like a lightning bolt?
Well, when you start, you can't stop.
What do you mean?
Well, I was at a party and snuck around the back of a mate's car to have a slush and didn't realise he had his electric fence on. When you start, you can't stop.
You can't physically stop yourself from weeing, Jack.
No, I can.
You're rendered incapable.
Well, you basically are.
Right.
It's not like Pringles where you just enjoy what you're doing.
We weren't sure.
No, when people say you get that tingly, fuzzy feeling, you don't need to slash on a fence to do it.
Right. Okay. How else do you get it?
Yeah. Christmas, triple M, big breakfast.
The other way.
Married at First Sight. Yes, I know. I'm probably the only one left in the country watching it now that Davina's gone. But something.
It's got huge numbers, though, Rob.
Yeah, no, it still has. It's pretty good. But last night got me thinking about something entirely different. So all the couples are back at the women's houses and meeting the women's families. And so Dean, who was the only other really interesting one, who was the one that cheated with Davina, is now back meeting Tracy's family. Sat down with her mum and dad, and after he told them that he'd done this whole flirtation thing, but he actually was really in love with Tracy, her parents said this.
You guys have got different challenges in your lives.
Probably wasn't the best husband on a couple of occasions.
Our generation, we all sort of stay together. It's a faster life, I think, these days.
Yeah.
People quit it too easily.
It is.
I think they're out the first opportunity they get.
Yes.
So after I heard that, I thought, is that actually true? What are the divorce statistics through the last century in Australia? Because thought about
before
it.
Before you go there, Moon, should we do this? Should we tell Robin that they're not actually married?
Okay, I know that, but just play the game with me because I was Easter interesting. Buddies. Okay, and Santa, I get it. Okay, in 1901, the divorce rate was 8%. Of couples getting divorced. And then we progressive through the 1920s, it was 12%. The 30s, it was 16%. The 1940s during the war was 20%, which surprised me because I figured so many guys went away. Yeah. But maybe they couldn't get divorced and a lot of them died.
Now, there wasn't enough blokes around probably after the war. What happened in the 50s?
Okay, the 50s were 26%.
Well, they're still getting divorced.
But then in the 60s, when it was all free love, they weren't getting married as much and therefore it dropped to 22%. The big kicker, though, came in 1975 when the no-fault divorce law came through. So you didn't actually have to say it was their fault that we're getting divorced.
Oh. Or, yeah, you didn't have to find that your partner was cheating on you. It was no fault divorce.
Just said, I don't you like them anymore. I'm
irreconcilable here. Differences, which I think was a great development.
So
great
we went from 22% to 48%.
What, in the 70s?
In 1975.
Well, 48% then.
Yeah. And
well,
then.
Because everyone claims it's nearly 50% now. So it's been like that forever.
Well, it kind of fluctuated in the 80s. It went up to 52. In the 90s, it dropped to 44. And now we're casually sitting between 48 and 52.
You're saying every marriage, how many now? 42.
Anywhere between so 48 low. And 52.
So it's a 1 in 2 chance. Yeah. Which I've had some chances.
Yeah,
but I have been looking at this story on divorce because it sometimes can get very acrimonious and it's all about the property settlement.
Oh God,
and especially if someone is betrayed, they feel very angry about it. This is a story about a bloke from Wollongong called Krist Kovachevsky, and he had an acrimonious property settlement with his wife and was ordered to leave the house and hand it over to her. He signed an agreement on the 3rd of August, signing the house over to her. And
so he no longer owned it, basically.
That's right. So he had to sign a transfer agreement on the 3rd of August.
Okay.
And just after midnight on the morning of the 4th of August, he set the house alight and burnt it down.
Wow.
Now,
Definitely him?
No. Yeah, it was definitely him because the police found him in the garage and he said, yep, I lit that.
Oh,
and he held up the can of Kero and he said, this is what I lit it with. And then, so they charged him with burning down somebody else's house and he said, no, it wasn't her house yet. It's still my house. And they said, no, it's her house. And so he was sentenced to 2 years with a minimum of 6 months.
Oh, dear.
But this is the interesting thing, because we were having a bit of a chat about this. Are you allowed to burn your own house down? That's the thing. It's like, oh, but
so did he go 12 hours too late? If he'd done it while he was still before it got handed over.
Before signing the transfer agreement. Right. If he had done it during the court case, all well and good. But the decision noted that in New South Wales, people can legally destroy their own property with fire as long as they're not committing any other offences.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, no, so where the problem with that would be, if you are married to someone and you jointly own it, and that's why he's
you're
got
only allowed
done,
to burn down half
you can
the
only
house.
Take out your bits.
Burn your shed down, but you've got to leave the house.
Yeah, you've got to leave the house.
If you were going to burn a bit of your house down, which bit would you burn? The laundry?
Breakfast, AAA.
Her dressing room. Are you a mum? You had have you had three children?
Yes.
Did you use drugs or no drugs?
Okay, so the first child, I had an epidural and I hated the experience so much that for the second two, I took nothing.
Drug-free.
Because you wanted to feel the experience?
Yeah, I felt like I was slightly ripped off because I wanted to be able to go through the whole thing. But that's just me.
It's
and
a badge of honour though, isn't it?
Well, what, to say I didn't take drugs during, not even a Panadol.
Yeah.
Can you tell I've said that before?
Yes. And do other girls don't like you for
no,
that?
No, they don't like
that will infuriate some women.
Okay, the reason why we're talking about this, on page 3 of today's Courier Mail, it's a story that's come out over the British Medical Authority. Anyway, some advocates for maternity are saying we need to change the language that happens in birthing suites. So you stop saying things like, you're going to have a big baby, or good girl, you're doing so well.
Good girl is really patronising.
Good girl.
Yeah. Yeah, all that. Another one, you're failing to progress. That's so terrifying when people say that. Or you're at high risk. These are words that no longer should be used in the birthing
suite. What about these words? You bastard, you did this to me.
Oh, no, we can say that.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, no. We can say whatever we like. This is for everyone else in the birthing suite.
So this is the woman who's doing all the hard work.
Yeah, pretty
you should never say to your wife, oh, God, there's a head.
You should see
where
the
my
size
penis used to go.
Oh, God. Don't
say,
you never said that.
Is it helpful?
No, of course I
have. No, you thought about it. Is it?
I can't believe you just said
when
that.
When the baby starts crowning, should you say, oh my God, you know those watermelons out the front of the fruit shop? It's bigger than that.
Okay, you need to start saying things like instead of a big baby, you say it's a healthy baby. And this is actually for midwives as well. They're going to lead the charge on this so that women are feeling safer.
This whole thing? I've gone down the other side. There's a good looking girl here. She just had a baby 4 weeks ago. And she goes, I wanted to enjoy the arrival of my little one. I didn't want it to be portrayed as a painful, torturous experience. I sat down with the medical staff beforehand and told them I was banning words like pain and push and failure to progress. Oh, listen, love. Get with the program okay, and get back careful. In there and push.
Be careful.
Yeah, I've never. You've had never had.
I'll tell you what, my wife, Lou, okay, and this is another paper. Thing that they're saying: don't not a big baby, a healthy weight. But yeah. Maggie was a monster.
What a hooah!
She was a massive hoo-ha, and she was 10
well, come
pound.
On, it's a thank you.
She had a big head on her, and Lou's vagina, I used it in an Italian, no cutting, splitting, tearing, and just out she came and bounced back into position.
Incredibly elastic, aren't
she'll
they?
Be
unbelievable.
You told us that. Look, my I mean, my yeah, question
she's,
about
she's got
this,
some good landing here.
Okay,
on.
Stop it.
Okay.
Is I know,
that's almost a
and
that
we
is
all
so close.
And we all talk about what women go through in the birthing suite. I guess what I'm curious to know is where your guys are at.
Like, have I ever told you what I did for our first child?
No.
Second Harry didn't take took no time at all. Just virtually doing the washing up. Now it popped. But Hillary took sure, ages, and I didn't know what to do.
Right.
And I could see that, Kathy, you go to the toilet a lot while you're contracting and stuff.
Because it all feels a bit
I
weird.
I ran down to the ute because, of course, I took her to the hospital in the ute, went down and got my cordless and took, because she was having trouble getting through the door of the toilet, took the door off the toilet so it was easier. And she always remembers that and says, you know what my husband did when I was giving, you know, when I was in labour.
Very practical of you.
And then popped it back on when we left the birthing suite.
Wow. Most men can't do that, but I
yes,
think
they
that
could.
That
if everyone, why don't they teach you that stuff? Who knows? What are those when before you have the baby classes?
Lamar's.
No, antenatal.
I did get a baby. Talking to the second time around.
Yeah.
I was on one of Lou's legs, and the midwife was on the other, and you know we'd up to the you know, okay, 10, 9, 8, 7, push, and
the baby was crowning.
Eliza,
yes.
Eliza looks across at me and she goes, "Are you all right, mate?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm fine." She goes, "You're looking pretty pale, brother, and we don't need someone to hit the floor." And I said, "I'm good."
Okay, I want some. Father experiences.
You want to know what happened to us
in
for a change?
The birthing suites. I want to know were you practical? Were you useless? Did you collapse? Because we often hear the female stories and we hear about the labours and how long and what happened with the baby. And now there's this push that we're going to use different wording within the birthing suite, which means, you know, everyone around the birthing mother have to change their vocabulary. So I'm kind of interested to hear what the blokes got up to. Mick, Aviara Bilba, what happened?
G'day guys, how's it going?
Yeah, good, mate.
Good, Mick.
Yeah, I actually passed out. And this was actually before the birth.
what stage, Mick? What got you?
Wife was sitting up on the table. I was sitting down in front of her on a chair. Yeah. So she had her feet on my knees, and the doctor's ready to put the epidural in.
Yeah.
And, that didn't go too well for me.
What, just the looking at the needle?
No. I was actually sitting, I was feeling a bit uncomfortable the way I was sitting, and the doctor goes, okay, needle's going in. And next thing I know, I was waking up, I was on the floor.
So what was it, Mick, the major pass out, do you reckon?
Oh, just the, I don't know, I sort of, in my head, I felt like the needle was going in my back because I was sitting very uncomfortable.
And they're huge.
Yeah. So I passed out and I still get a lot of shit for it now, so that's 5 years ago.
So you should.
Okay.
Well, good on you, Mick.
Well, maybe they're so connected it's like twins, that if one thing happens to one, then the other fit. No.
I've heard of husbands falling asleep. I've heard of husbands watching footy on the TV.
I got in trouble because Lou was like in labour and she goes, I just want to be in the shower, showering my back. I think I might have told you this. And I was doing it for about half an hour. I said, oh, my arm is so sore. And she just goes, what? And I said,
nothing.
Tegan from Mount Cotton. What happened?
Well, after the doctor asked if he could bring a couple of students in, which I thought, you know, couple means maybe two, three, nine of them wandered in.
First
baby, not really happy, but I wasn't really concentrating on that. But the big one was the wording, and the doctors had a look and turned to my husband and said, "Ooh, she's ripe." Obviously meaning my cervix, but my husband had no idea, and I could see his fist clenching about to give him a walloping.
Oh. So you had nine students all trying to get a good gander at what was going on down the business end?
Yeah, I wasn't particularly worried. I was concentrating on other things, but the husband wasn't really too impressed.
No, I bet. Actually, that's the thing you blokes don't realise. That in there are moments within birth where you can ask us anything and we'll say yes, but you have to pick the moments. And I would suggest crowning would be one of those when we're so engaged in what's going on. If you said, hey,
can
love,
I go
can
fishing?
I have... Yeah. We just go, whatever!
Okay, see ya.
I'm going anyway. To Vegas with the boys.
Yeah, okay.
Leaving now.
Was it of Hemet? What happened during the birth?
Yeah, mine's not bad. When my daughter was born, I was in the process of having my gallbladder removed 2 days after she was born. And at one stage there, when the doctor came in, my wife, she's having her contractions, and I'm keeled over with a gallbladder attack at the same time.
Hold on. I think that goes back to Moon Man's sore arm.
How did that go for you, was it?
Well, the doctor had no idea what was going on because we're both keeled over, and she's on the up against the chair, I'm up against the bed, both keeled over, going, oh!
Who won that one, was it?
Obviously, Karen, she got out of pain before I did.
Yeah. Oh, you poor bastard.
Poor bloke. How many pounds was your little one, was it?
Yeah, my little tiny in the jar. And the guy said, the doctor said, do you want to take this home? I said, no. Sitting in the jar beside you, the bed, I don't want them. They hurt.
Fair enough.
Ah, nice.
Okay.
What about Collar Vanala? We can't talk. We've got to go to the traffic. But performed a slips catch in the in the birthing. Isn't that good?
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, at least you caught the baby.
Yeah, there's probably a reason we're not talking to Colin.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. Let's just talk about him.
It's still before the courts. Big Breakfast on Brisbane's Triple M.